When it comes to climate tech, we got some philanthropy, some AI, some beta products, and cities in the flood zone who need all of that and more. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. We're continuing our trip through Silicon Valley as part of our climate tech series, How We Survive, to find out what the tech industry is doing to develop solutions to climate change. And at this point, I figured I should ask, is it fair to expect these private companies to make adapting to climate change part of their jobs? Mike Mielke is with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, a trade group that represents most major tech companies. And he says, yeah, it's fair. It's in their DNA.
That's something that's a hallmark of Silicon Valley and a hallmark of a lot of our members is that when many folks see a problem, a lot of the folks out here see an opportunity.
So far, the pace of grabbing that opportunity is slow, still mostly philanthropy and internal sustainability goals. But just this week, Salesforce announced a new product, the Salesforce Sustainability Cloud, that lets companies track their environmental impact and risk. Over at Google, Kate Brandt is Google's sustainability officer. She says there's a new tech industry task force for adaptation and resilience with Google and Facebook, Genentech, PG&E, and Wells Fargo. But near as we can tell, it's so new, it hasn't really met yet.
This is a fairly new group, but really our hope is that this can be a place to discuss, you know, regional impacts that we anticipate seeing, and also identify and implement actions that we can take collectively to partner with communities.
Communities in Silicon Valley say implement away. They are ready to be a market for new tech.
So I was reading an article last week, I think, that a company came up with a way to do facial recognition on cows.
This is Carrie Romanow, the director of San Jose's Environmental Services Department.
I think that's really cool, but it'd be great if there was something that could, you know, maybe help us more locally and solve things like a smart levee where, you know, we get early warning that waters are rising.
Over at Google, Kate Brandt told us the company is working on better flood forecasting using artificial intelligence in India, not California. And she pointed to some other Google climate tools still in beta. How about the other big tech companies in the Valley, like, say, Facebook? Social media doesn't seem like an obvious place for climate innovation, I know, but environmental economist Patrick Bayliss said it's actually a gold mine.
So what we observed through social media posts on Twitter and Facebook in this paper was that you actually see people's expressed sentiment changing in response to different temperatures.
Bayliss used data from Facebook and Twitter to track people's emotional response to changing weather over time. Now, we actually found Bayliss through Twitter when we asked that company if it was doing anything around climate and technology. Bayliss said he partnered with Facebook for the research and used Twitter's publicly available data. Now, he says, he's not sure he could get the same access from Facebook anymore. That company has really cracked down since the Cambridge Analytica scandal. But he said social media companies could really help researchers track climate change implications if they organized their data and shared it. In a statement, Facebook said it's working toward using more renewable energy and said the company is, quote, working on a number of projects that will ensure Facebook's platforms serve as powerful tools to support climate action. As for other Valley giants, Alphabet and Apple, both run their facilities on 100% renewable energy, and Apple touted its energy-efficient products. And one barrier might be that the relationship between Silicon Valley cities and big tech companies just isn't great. Leslie Berlin is a historian for the Silicon Valley Archives at Stanford University. She said tech companies used to be a lot more connected to the towns in the valley. An early HP executive was on the Palo Alto City Council. One of Apple's early founders was on the Cupertino Planning Commission. But these days,
we've just seen a general suspicion of these companies that have led to a sense that anything good that they're trying to do is done from a cynical sort of perspective.
Berlin says housing costs and traffic and suspicion of tech overall have eroded trust between tech and the residents of Silicon Valley. They're just not talking. And I asked her if there was any precedent for government and companies coming together to solve a big problem.
Well, what would you call the internet?
Okay, so all we need is something on the scale of building the internet, but for climate, And now for some related links. In other stories in this series, we have brought up the idea that employees within tech companies might help push climate tech. And we will get a physical demonstration of that on Friday, September 20th. Reportedly, employees at Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and Facebook will walk off the job Friday as part of a global climate change protest. The tech protest seems to have started at Amazon, which has fewer goals than some of its peers around reducing its own carbon emissions at data centers or in its deliveries. Recently, there were reports about the company courting oil and gas companies with a customized version of Amazon Web Services, which is its cloud service division. After that, Amazon said it would buy 3 new wind farms. It has also announced a goal to make 50% of its deliveries net carbon zero by 2030. In 2018, Amazon said AWS, quote, exceeded 50% renewable energy usage for the year. A reminder here that Google and Apple are at 100%, Facebook about 75%. And Amazon doesn't have a timeline for expanding its renewables use, nor does it report its sustainability metrics like other companies do. Employees at Amazon want the company to stop working with the fossil fuel industry, stop donating to politicians and lobbying groups that deny the effects of climate change, and commit to zero emissions by 2030, not through offsets. Now, that can be tricky, as Wired points out, because a delivery service involves a lot of planes, trains, and automobiles. On that note, there's actually kind of a provocative piece in The Guardian from Wednesday that says, even though the tech industry is promising that digitization is the key to a more efficient future, what we may actually need to do is decomputerize. The piece argues that artificial intelligence and machine learning really just come down to millions of computers crunching trillions of bits of data using many, many gigawatts of energy. You can find that link on our website, marketplacetech.org, along with all our stories from the series this week and from the past few months. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Marketplace Tech helps you stay sharp on all things related to technology and the economy. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you donate today. It's a set of 6 pencils, each stamped with a different Marketplace quote, yours for just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.